Okay, so we're going to do the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. And then if there's some time, we'll do today's Haftorah, the one we just did. Okay, you'll see that the words Yom Kippur do not appear in this Haftorah, but it is so obviously connected to Yom Kippur that we might be able to determine that Yeshayahu actually delivered this sermon on the Yom Kippur, and possibly even more specifically on the Yom Kippur of a Yovel. Just so you should know, at the end of Sefer Vayikra, the Torah says that every 50 years, in a Yovel year, which means a year right after a Shemitah year, because 50 is the number right after a number that is a multiple of 7, right? So that means the 49th year is a Shemitah year, and so is the 50th year. That means 2 years in a row, you can't work your field. Right? The 49th year and the 50th year. At the beginning of the 50th year, the Torah says that you blow a shofar on Yom Kippur, and all ancestral property with land returns back to its original owner. Okay. People were able to trace their lineage all the way back to the time we entered the land of Israel. And if someone had to sell land, then it automatically reverts to its original owner. Obviously, ancestral land has greater value if there are more years to the Yovel. Right? There are only 2 years left to the Yovel. Ancestral land isn't going to sell for too much because the person buying it knows that in 2 years it's going to be taken from him. In addition, all slaves are set free. Okay, why not just set them free permanently? It's a good question. There are two types of slaves. There's the slave who was sold into slavery because he stole and wasn't able to repay. Not debtors. There's no such thing as debtor slavery or debtor's jail in Israel. But if someone stole and can't pay back what he stole, then that person is sold into servitude. If the person he stole from wants his service, the person from whom he stole can very easily say, I don't want him working in my house. Okay. Right, so anyway, there's another type of slave, a person who sells himself into servitude because he is a destitute. I wouldn't call that slavery. I might call that service. I don't know what to call it. You sell yourself as a... The word eved doesn't translate well as slave. Right? Certainly not as we understand it, where someone is taken against his will or, you know. Right? This slave can always buy himself out. You sell yourself in advance for a certain amount of time. It's not 6 years. It's just an agreed amount of time. Okay? All right, so with that background, I want to start the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. I sent out 5 pages online. I hope that you were able to get it. It's just a large print of the 2 Haftorahs. Right? The first Haftorah, Yom Kippur, starts for Omar, Solu Solu Panu Derech. Chapter 57, verse 14 of Sefer Yeshayahu. This comes smack dab in the middle of those 7 Haftorahs that we say from Tisha B'Av until till the end of the year. It's interesting, from chapter 49 to chapter 61, every single one of those chapters, get this, 49 to 61, every single chapter has a Haftorah in it, except for chapter 53. If you look up chapter 53, I'm not going to go over it now, you might see why the rabbis avoided that chapter as a Haftorah. Didn't connect, that could be itself by itself. It didn't connect to anything that was redemptive. All right? Certainly not to Jews. Okay, anyway, so the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, chapter 57 and 58, starts off by saying, Harimu Michshol Miderech Ami. It says, if you want to have a good repentance, you must remove impediments. That's a very powerful tshuva message. right? If I want to do anything that involves a change in my life, you can't just say, stop doing this destructive thing. You have to replace that destructive thing with something else. You have to have a plan. You have to have a vision. You have to remove that thing with something else. For instance, if someone has an eating disorder, right, there has to be a plan. Get that bad food out of the house. Have replacements. That's the first rule of Weight Watchers, right? All right, so an eating disorder is very difficult. It might be more difficult to handle than all other disorders because we all have to eat. We don't have to gamble and we don't have to take alcohol, but we do have to eat, right? So we have to have a plan. If I want to make a resolution about starting to come on time, that doesn't just start in the morning. That plan has to start in the evening. There's some impediments to my coming on time that's starting the night before. And how can I resolve those things? You have to have a plan. That's what Pasuk Aleph about Torah is saying. Right? Panu Derech means clear away a path. Don't just say, oh, I would love to change this behavior. I want so badly to stop gambling. Okay, we'll get rid of that website, that gambling website that you're on. Stop paying for it. You'll get to take some of the things off the line where there are things that are causing problems. That's the first message. Remove the obstacles.
Please do me a favor. Bring up my hearing aids.
All right. So the next message that Torah of Yom Kippur is telling us. There's a common theme in the book of Eov. When Eov wants to make a point, let's say about what God will do for us, the person delivering that particular speech speaks three or four psukim about the vast, vast knowledge or power or omniscience or omnipotence or omnipresence or the benevolence of God. Okay, and that's what it's doing here. But the exact description of God here is noteworthy. What moves Hashem best to mercy is the human being, is the person who is Dakor Ushval Ruach Lachios Ruach Shvalim. Right? Ulachios Lev Nidkoim. The Torah immediately tells us that what vouchsafes a good Yom Kippur better than anything. Taking care of people who are low of spirit, right? What it means here is that when the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and the Rambam say in Hilchos Tshuva that if your averos and your mitzvahs are lined up equally, so your next mitzvah will tilt the scales towards life, the next avera will tilt the scales towards death, right? Okay, very simplistic, but it's really much more complicated than that, because in order to tilt the scales, we don't know how one tiny avera may actually outweigh 1,000 mitzvahs on the scales. We don't know. We don't know how one little mitzvah, one little helping someone who is downtrodden, can undo a whole year of eating lobster and pork. We don't know. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how things are weighed on the scale. Okay? Got it? Right? I think I have a story to tell in Yom Kippur about that, but it's going to take up too much time now. But, you might think it's not fair. One little act of insensitivity to a man on Erev Yom Kippur, and I lose my wealth over that? Hashem says, listen, that's how I run things around here. Okay, and what best moves God to mercy is, look at Pasuk Tevav, Lachayot Lev Nitkoim. Right? Hashem says in Pasuk Tzayin, I don't get angry. I don't bear grudges. I just have a system that works, and it's very complicated, and human beings can't really figure it out. It appears that doing something kind or obeying parents might, I understand how that might offset some pork that I ate, a non-kosher food that I might have eaten, right? But, only God knows, and every person is different.
Right? My reward for not eating lobster is very different than a Baal Tshuva's reward for not eating lobster. I have no desire for that. Okay? But the Gemara at the end of Makos tells us that we have reward for keeping all of the mitzvahs and avoiding all of the averos. Hashem chafetz leman tzidko yadil terav yadir. You get reward for not marrying your brother, even if you don't have a brother, because there's a mitzvah in the Torah, don't marry your brother. Right? So you didn't violate that mitzvah, but I don't even have a brother. Okay, too good, you know, good for you. You still get a mitzvah. Right? Some mitzvahs I actually don't want to perform. Right? Right? There's some mitzvahs that are apodictic. It's only after getting into a particular situation that I have this mitzvah. Okay. All right, be that as it may, Hashem says that he's very cold and calculating about this. He's not bearing grudges and getting angry. Okay, so look at Pasuk Yutet. Borei nivs v'sayim, shalom shalom l'rachok v'lakarov, amar Hashem v'fasiv. This Pasuk is making two points. One, don't underestimate the power of your prayer. Borei nivs v'sayim, the power of your lips. Don't just think the thing. Speak it out. Talk. And you don't have to talk to a confessor. You don't have to talk to another person. Right? There is, remember last week we discussed the, did that come up? It was in this year, right? The contradiction between a pasuk and Mishlei that says, happy is the person who talks out his guilt and gets help from friends and gets it off his chest. And the pasuk in Tehillim says, happy is the person who hides his guilt and doesn't share it with anybody. What's that? What's with that? So the Gemara answer is that it depends on the sin. If you sinned against a person, talk to a person about that. If you sinned against God, no one but God needs to know about it. You don't have to talk to another person about that. We don't have forgiveness is within God, not within a person. Okay? So don't underestimate the power of the speech. And then, shalom, shalom, l'rachok v'l'karov. This is in our Saturday night liturgy. Peace is extended to those who are far and those who are near. And those who are far first. The far person is the Baal Tshuva. The Karov is the Tzaddik. Right? The Baal Tshuva is even higher than the Tzaddik. Because he had to struggle more to reach the stage he's at. So, as you see from the first six psukim of the Yom Kippur of Torah, that the judgment does not come down exactly equally for each and every individual. Okay, and it may even come down differently for us depending on the year. You have to hope and consider that a year like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't looking at me, let's say, and says, how dare you miss 3 months of saying Kaddish for your father? Right? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking at circumstances and looking at situations, right? I would tell you that I have missed more minyan this year between March and June than in the previous 45 years. Okay? What days of minyan missed? Let's say in the previous 4, I don't know, I can't go back that far, maybe, I don't know, 40 years or so. Okay, so Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I expect some leniency given the circumstance. That stands, that's pretty obvious. Okay, so now we turn to chapter 58, and here is where the Yom Kippur stuff comes in. Yeshayahu, in verse 3, refers to the people's complaints. The people are saying, Lo matzamnu v'lo ra'isa, ininu nafshenu v'lo seda. Ein b'yom tzumchem timtzu, chefetz v'chol atzveichem timgomsu. They say, why are we fasting and we don't see any purpose to it? Why are we afflicting our souls? That's Yom Kippur language, right? The other fasts don't apply any kind of affliction of soul. Yom Kippur says, v'nisim es nafshoseichem. You have to afflict yourselves in Yom Kippur. So Yeshayahu does not speak out against the fasting per se. But he does speak out against the affliction. Look, Hein l'rivu matzot tzumu la'hakos be'grow fresha, lo satzumu chayom la'shmiya b'merom kolchem. You think I want you to take your fist and to beat yourself? You think I want you to just fast in order to be afflicted? You think this is the fast that I prefer? Yom Anos Adam Nafsho, a day where you afflict your soul? That was for the Purim story, to wear sackcloth and put ashes on your forehead because of the sadness of the tragedy of Haman's decree. That's not the nature of this day. This is a very important verse here, because you know that the Tzedukim and the Purushim, and by extension the Karaites and the Rabbanites, have a great dispute about the very nature of Yom Kippur. Right? To us, Yom Kippur is a festive day. It's a holiday. It's a yontif. We wear yontif clothing. You just can't eat. Right? It's a festive day. It's a yontif. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainis that the two happiest days of the year are Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Right? The Mishnah says in Maseches Yuma that the Kohen Gadol made a kiddush for his friends after he successfully finished the Yom Kippur service. Just no food. Sorry, no wine, no food. But a kiddush, whatever you're going to call it. Right? He made a little festival. They had a gathering and they rejoiced over his success in finishing the Yom Kippur service. Yom Kippur is a festive day. It's a happy day. Right? The only thing that you might consider that garners sadness is when we read about the 10 martyrs. Right? I never cry when I read about the 10 martyrs. I've seen people doing that. Because the 10 martyrs are not read for sadness. They're read on Tisha B'Av for sadness. On Yom Kippur, they're read for atonement. That's why when you read about the 10 martyrs on Yom Kippur, we start with a reference to the sale of Yosef by his 10 brothers. They need atonement. I think we talked about that last time, because when Yaakov died, the brothers thought that Yosef would kill them. That meant that they thought that Yosef didn't forgive them. If Yosef had forgiven them in their eyes, surely they would have not considered that he would kill them. Got it? Okay. So we see that Yosef excused them. He understood them. He tried to make them feel better, feel good about where they stood in his presence. But it doesn't appear that he forgave them. So that forgiveness is still required in Yom Kippur. So I don't read about... We don't read about the 10 martyrs because of sadness. We read about because of atonement. Right? So when Yeshayahu berates the people for observing this fast day with self-flagellation and with beatings and with wearing sackcloth, I submit to you he is being critical of a type of observance of Yom Kippur that was popular even in the Dead Sea Scrolls and even with Karaites to this day. Karaites take the Torah literally. They don't have an oral tradition, right? So Karaites actually do positive affliction. They afflict themselves. You know what I'm saying? They positively afflict themselves. They beat each other. They stand until they drop. Okay, that's the Inisim es nafsho seichem. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Yuma asks this question. How do we fulfill the mitzvah of the Inisim es nafsho seichem? The Gemara says, a few words, b'shev v'al ta'aseh, by refraining from doing things, not by doing things. You get it? You refrain from eating and drinking, that's all. You don't have to actually do something that afflicts you. Right? For the Karaites, it means every Yom Kippur is very subjective. Right? Any two people who are listening to these words now have the same idea of what afflicts you? Just afflict yourself. Right? Different people have different afflictions. Right? No, it is an objective definition, says the Gemara. Just don't eat and don't drink. And the Midrash Rabbanan, we had some other afflictions, but that's the limitation of the affliction of Yom Kippur. It's not a day of sackcloth. It's not a day of beating and self-flagellation. It's not a day like Pasuk Dalet and Hay say, Yoma nos adam nafsho alachov bagman rosho. Okay? This pasuk proves that those who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls and described their observance of Yom Kippur this way were wrong. And there's a prophet who spoke out against it. Okay? Right? I'd like to have a Karaite explain. I would say that Yishayahu also speaks against sacrifice. Get it? He speaks against the sacrifice of wicked people. So the Karaites have written about this. Karaites in the Middle Ages explain these verses in the same light. Yishayahu wasn't berating them per se for their self-flagellation. He was berating them because their self-flagellation was not accompanied by morality. So what good is self-flagellation if you're not being moral about it? Right? I disagree. I think when Yishayahu speaks against their karbonos, he makes it quite clear that there's two separate things. I don't see here that he's talking about righteous people, perhaps even, or people who are engaging in going overboard in the Yom Kippur observance. Okay? But here's the kicker. Look at Pasuk Zion. Halo zetzom evcharehu. This is the fast that I prefer of you. Pateach hatzubos resha atera gudos mota v'shalach ritzutzim chavshim v'chol motot nateku. He says in four different ways in this Pasuk Zion to free the people who are bound. This is a Yovel message. Don't you see it? It's a Yom Kippur Yovel message. Berating the people for afflicting themselves too much, fasting in a way that God does not actually want. Right? They're fasting, certainly going through the motions, but they're not setting the slaves free. What good is a fast like that? Right? Halo paros l'ra'iv lachmecha. Oh, pasuk zayin, pasuk, two pasukim that say zayin. Oh, no, one is vav. So pasuk zayin, if you really want to know what God expects of us on a fast day, paros l'ra'iv lachmecha, share your bread with the poor. What a beautiful message. Right? The message is that don't have the hunger that you feel, especially by mid-afternoon. It's getting to be 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. The day is wearing on. 5 o'clock, Mincha's coming. I'm tired. I'm so hungry. I hear my stomach crumbling. How many pages are left in the Machzor? How many 15-minute intervals are there left in the holiday? And how you keep thinking and thinking how much time is left? And you're consumed with how many hours left till I'm eating blintzes and bagels and lox. And Adarabha, Yishayahu would tell us, use that hunger to have a sentiment and an empathy for someone who always feels that way. Someone who's always hungry. Someone who doesn't know where the next meal is coming from. Okay? That's what Pasuk Zion is. And then Yishayahu, two different psukim. Oz Yibakai Pagajah. Oz Tikra Hashemah. Oz is a beautiful word. It's like Oz Yashir. Oz means if you really want to know how to gain God's favor, you really want to know how to get God to have mercy on us, there you go. It's in having him mirror your concern for the poor. Why is this? Because suffering in the world is sort of an indictment against God's perfect world. If God gave us a perfect world, why is there suffering? I don't have a good answer for that. That's the Odyssey. But I do know that God charges us to protect the weak, to take care of the weak and the infirmed. And that God considers that, as I said at the beginning of this Haftorah, that's the biggest thing that gains his mercies on Yom Kippur, is the care for the weak. That's why there's no greater derision and calumny than for Amalek, because they attacked the weak. So if we want to gain God's strength and God's powers and harness his incredible abilities behind his favor, so take care of the people who are hungry, right? You can even argue that's why we're made to be so hungry on Yom Kippur. The safek l'ra'ev nafshecha, after these two uzzes. right? Because you're helping. It's a big Kiddush Hashem when you take care of those people. How does God love the widow and the orphan? Don't make them widowed and orphaned in the first place. Don't kill off their father and their husband. Right? No, that wasn't God doing that. That's just the way of the world. That's the nature of the world. Right? So, how does God love the orphan and the widow? By convincing the people through the mitzvahs of the Torah, through the prophets, that everyone else should look after them and take care of them. Right? Okay? And not just because it makes you feel good. Yeshayahu mentions twice that we have to take a bread and share it with the poor. One might be because, okay, you know, I have enough bread, let me feel good about myself and pat myself on the back, I helped someone. No, that's not enough. You do it because it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to help that poor person. I don't care how it makes you feel. I'm a servant of Hashem. The servant serves the master, not wondering how does this make the master feel? How does this make the slave feel? It's a mitzvah. We have to feed that poor person. Right? You feel good about it? Good. That's a cherry on top. But Yeshayahu mentions not once, but twice to help the poor as a Yom Kippur experience. That's why we make our only appeal of the year is made on Yom Kippur. Okay? So then Hashem says, so then I'll take care of you. I'll look after you. What's fascinating is that when Hashem says these two psukim, Yud Aleph and Yud Bet, how he'll take care of us if we feed the poor. It's fascinating. Can you look at it if you have it with you? I sent it out this afternoon. At what liturgy do we say these two psukim? Is it like on a Yontif, on a Shabbos, when we finish davening? Where do we say these psukim? V'nochacho Hashem tamid, v'yispiyatzach tachos nafshecha ba'atzmosecha yachlitz. This is a giveaway now. V'yisa gagan raveu chumotzo mayim ashalo yichazvu memov. You will be an ever flowing source of water and sustenance, and your bones will not ever become dry. All right, I'm giving it away. This is what we say when leaving an unveiling. These psukim. It's fascinating, right? Yeshayahu says, "Do this for God. Take care of the poor. And this is what This is what God's going to do for you." And then you'd bet too. It will build from you everlasting foundations. You see the word Evan, that's why we put a stone. We put up a stone and we put little stones nearby. Because the word for building and the word for stone is the same word. Okay? Evan, Ben, Binyan. Okay? Any builder would like to connect to that. All right? So this is these two. It's fascinating how the Yom Kippur Haftorah connects to what we say at an unveiling. Right, and now finally, everyone here will certainly, if you've ever had Kiddush at Ohel Tzedek, you see how the Haftorah of Yom Kippur ends. Toshiv mishabas raglecha, asos chafatzecha biyom kachiva karasav shalvesoned dosh Hashem mechubad. Mechibiratom yasos terechacham imtzol chafatzecha v'daber davar, oz tisanag al Hashem v'yikavtich v'masaretz v'chatich ha'nachlas ha'kurubicha kipi Hashem diber. Why does the Haftorah of Yom Kippur end with a description of Shabbos? What is it about the Shabbos observance that makes a Yom Kippur, the ending of Yom Kippur? Now, there is a Medrash that says that this is actually Yom Kippur observance, but no, I don't think so. There's no din of oneg on Yom Kippur. There's no din of kavod. Kavod, maybe. It's a yontif, after all, so we should mechabed it with nice clothing. But I don't see what the oneg Shabbos and kavod Shabbos, it's a Shabbos thing. So on that, I would take you to the Haftorah of this afternoon, to a fast day. That's page 247 in the pages I sent out to you this afternoon, where it says, Dirshu Hashem b'yimatzo'o k'ra'u b'yoso k'rov. We just said this Haftorah about an hour and a half ago. Yeah, maybe 2 hours ago. So it means that there are some times of the year where you can get closer to God. It's counterintuitive. We always feel that I can get close to God at any day of the year, any place, anywhere, anyhow. Maybe not. Maybe some times of the year are more misugal, like Aseres Mitzvah. Okay? Or in a kotel. You can get a better feeling than in a field someplace. But that could be subjective. Some Hasidic masters got closest to God when meditating in the field, where somewhere out in the forest, like stories about the Baal Shem Tov and stuff like that, right? Or the Jews who escaped to Uman and stuff, you know. Okay, so the Pasuk Zion continues, Yazov Rasha Darkovi Shoven Machshavosav. So here is an important point that the Yom Kippur Haftarah made also. It's not enough to have good intentions and to have a plan to do something good. Let's use an eating disorder like I did before. If I know I'm not eating properly, it's not just enough to say I'm going to eat properly from now on. You have to have a plan. You have to leave a certain behavior and have a plan to replace that behavior with something else. That's elementary Weight Watchers. Okay? All right? And the thought process is very crucial. Often thought becomes a speech, and then it becomes an action. Right? So let's clear away those thoughts and make a plan. And you return, just start the return to God. He'll pity you and just get started. He wants so badly to forgive, to the point that he becomes a sucker sometimes in his desire to forgive. And then what I said before about the Yom Kippur Haftarah, Ki lo machshavo sai machshavo seichem. Only Hashem knows every individual's struggle of a person. That's why the Rambam refers to God as Kel Deos. He is the God who knows the mind of each and every one of us. And why that this everyone's struggle listening to these words is unique. And everyone deserves a different cheshbon on Yom Kippur. That's what we mean when we say everyone comes, kebakaras, roe edro, we go before God like sheep under the staff. Everyone is on their own. Meaning they're judged on their own merits and their own situation. We daven b'tzibur and say Hashem Hashem k'arach mechan and b'tzibur in order to harness the great power of the Rabbim, the zchuyos of the Rabbim. Okay, so I just want to concentrate on the Haftorah is constantly mentioning. We would miss this message if you just read through it too quickly. It's mentioning replacement. Tshuva has to be a plan of replacement. I'm doing X and I want to do Y. I recognize X is wrong. I recognize Y is preferable. The Yetzer Hara is very good at telling me to do more and more of X. Right? Okay. Don't get me wrong. Yerushalmi in the Darim says that when we go to the next world, Hashem is going to ask us, why didn't you enjoy that thing? It was mutter, it was kosher, it was you weren't fleishik, so it was fine. Right? Why didn't you enjoy that thing? Right? We don't have to live a life of the extremes. We shouldn't be hedonistic, but we also shouldn't be too frugal with our and ascetic with our enjoyments. So it says tachas hanatzutz yaleh v'rosh v'tachas hasirpod yaleh hadas. Right. So we really have to replace things. We need to have the plan to go from X to Y. And then Hashem gets back to Shabbos. This is amazing. The Haftorah of Yom Kippur has a Shabbos element to it, and the Haftorah of this afternoon had quite a long Shabbos element to it. Ashrei Anosh Yasezo Suben Adam Yachzik Bo Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo Mishomer Yado Miasos Kol Ra. Right? Happy is the person who keeps Shabbos. Happy is the person who refrains from doing everything wrong. Now, it's very strange here. And Yeshayahu goes on to speak about those who keep Shabbos will be saved from any kind of Shabbos is machzikim b'receives. The assumption is that Shabbos is the covenant with God that will spare them from the impending punishments that Yeshayahu had spoken of so many times in his book. They'll avoid whatever is coming down for others if they keep Shabbos. But what is that? But to add a problem to this observance, after mentioning Shabbos numerous times at the end of the Haftorah, he says that especially the eunuchs. Now Israel, it's an aveira in the Torah to to castrate and to make a eunuch. We never did such things, not to Jews and certainly not to Gentiles either. But he refers here, no doubt that this word saris here means a eunuch. Sometimes the word saris in the Tanakh means just an unofficial. The word appears in the late books of Tanakh. There's sarisim in the Megillah Esther. There's sarisim in Ezra and Nehemiah, right? But here Yeshayahu speaks about the sarisim who are not going to have children, who keep Shabbos. They will be saved in the ultimate salvation. They will, and I will give a very famous museum in Israel named after this pasuk. And because I will give them an asati lahem bebeisi v'chomosai yad v'shem tov mibanim u'mibanos shem olam etein lo asher lo yikares. Right? They will have a yad v'shem. Yad is a it's a motif, it's a metaphor for remembrance. Okay? Yad Avshalom, there's a monument Avshalom made for himself because he said he didn't have children. He didn't have any good children when he died, so he made a memorial to himself. It's called Yad Avshalom. Okay, so I'm giving you a Yad Vashem. Tov Nibanim U'Mibanos. This Yad Vashem is better than sons and daughters because it's Shabbos. Mazeh, what does that even mean? Okay, the Gemara derives from here that if all the Jews keep two Shabboses, because it says Asher Yishmeru as Shabbosai, it's Gemara in Perak Kol Kisvei in the Sechah Shabbos, Shabbosai, you keep my Shabboses, and then Vavi Osim Al Har Kochi V'Simachtim Beveis Tulasi. Then I'll take you to my Mikdash. Then you'll have your back in your salvation. So one Shabbos we already kept, the first Shabbos, but then the Jews cheated on the month, and there hasn't been one Shabbos since where all the Jews kept Shabbos. So the Marsha in the Gemara in Shabbos that I just mentioned says, how are we expecting that every single Jew needs to keep Shabbos before Mashiach comes? How is on earth is that going to happen? So he says, no, that's not what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is, however, asking for a Mesiris Nefesh from us. It's asking for us to make the sacrifice for Shabbos. Not just for Shabbos, but for God's will. That's why we do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, to recreate the Akedah. The Medrash says that the Satan tried to convince Abraham with all kinds of convincing arguments not to take his son up to the mountain. And when the Satan saw that Abraham was not to be deterred, the Satan transformed himself into a great body of water. There's no body of water near Yerushalayim. It just means that Abraham saw the place from far and saw how tall the mountain was, and he saw a physical impediment before him. But he was able to conquer that physical impediment. He climbed the mountain and he did God's will. The impediment was pushed away by Avraham's insistence on the performance of God's will. What is the Mesiris Nefesh here? So the Marsha says the following. This is a separate Gemara in Maseches Nida. I don't know if what I'm about to tell you can be corroborated or disproven medically. But the Gemara says that depending on the day a woman conceives, she will give birth on any one of 3 days of the week. Okay, if she conceives on a Wednesday, she will give birth on Thursday, Friday, or Shabbos. If she conceives on a Thursday, she will give birth on a Friday, Shabbos, or Sunday. If she conceives on a Friday, she will give birth on a Shabbos, Sunday, or Monday. You get the program here? So, based on this, the Hasidim HaRishonim, the Gemara says, refrained from marital relations on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, so that they wouldn't have to violate Shabbos by their wives giving birth on Shabbos. To a girl would violate one Shabbos. If they gave birth to a boy, they would have to violate two Shabboses, one for the birth, one for the bris, a week later. That's what the Gemara means when it says, if the Jews keep two Shabboses, not all, but if the Jews demonstrate such Mesiris Nefesh, so I have to ask the Marsha, if that's the way the Hasidim HaRishonim were acting, why didn't the Mashiach come then? Those are the Hasidim HaRishonim who were behaved that way before the temple was destroyed. Marsha is asking that we should have such type, not specifically that Mesiris Nefesh, but similar Mesiris Nefesh. Shabbos is a profound Mesiris Nefesh. It's a great bracha for the Jewish people. But it's also a great, great impediment. You have to keep out of my work for 6 days, one day every 7 days, and see my competition take all my business from me? How could a Jew ever have a food service business? Friday night, Shabbos is the biggest day, right? So the question here is Mesiras Nefesh. What are we ready to do for God? What sacrifice are we ready to make? An important question we need to ask ourselves after Tzom Gedalia and after the week during the week we're leading into Yom Kippur. What kind of sacrifices can I make? Can I make that minyan all year? Can I make a financial sacrifice? That's what this is all about. Shuvah Tefillah Tzedakah. And that's what these two haftorahs harness and grab onto. Okay, Chevra, I think I'm running out of steam because Mamish just got home. I only had a chance to take a quick bite. So I want to wish everyone a Ksivu Chasim HaTov. On Wednesday night, we have back to Minchas Chinuch. Okay, that's going to be a Wednesday night slot. We have two slots now. Monday night at 8, we're doing Haftorah, the Haftorah of the week. And then Wednesday night at 8, we're doing Minchas Chinuch. Okay, we'll do every Wednesday night a different mitzvah. Okay, everybody, I want to wish everybody a Ksivu Chasim HaTov, Al Tov Chaim Tovim. Thanks a lot for coming on. And have a great night.